We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to Take Time for Jesus, coming to you by the way of shortwave and on the computers. We just glad to know that God is still on the throne and he's in control of the things that are going on in the world. And we find that evil is running rampant throughout our nations and all around the world. There's all kinds of problems happening, and people just seem to forget all about God and putting him out of their lives in such a way that they're turning to own desires of their fleshly desires, pleasures, and things of the world instead of putting God, letting God into their lives and to worrying that they can be reserved to him and flee from the darkness that is coming upon the world with sin, corruption running to and fro, and all kinds of things that are happening. My friend, today it's time that we would take time out of our busy schedule and give God some glory and praise. They've forsaken the assembling together. There's no revivals in the world today as they used to be, and people are turning away from their ears away from the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ, turning to fables. And our laws are being, our judges and all are making laws against the common things that God has put out here for us to go by, and letting sin run rampant into the streets and all around the world. We need to take time out of our busy schedule and get back to the basics of God's teaching, praying and seeking after revival to come forth, if it at all possible, and God would be persuaded to return to us back to the desires that we would have a desire to serve him in the beauty of holiness. There's so much false teaching going on in the world today until God seems like that he's set back to see what man will do. Man thinks he's his own God, or he can do more than God can do, and God's maybe just set back to see. We've seen all of the things happening around across the land. These fierce storms of happening and all of the things in the heavens and in the earth and the sea beneath. We've seen creatures that never seen before being taken out of the sea, washing up on the shores. And the Bible speaks about the signs in the sea beneath and the signs in the earth beneath, signs in the heavens, and all these things, and we seeing them today, my friend. So you people that thinks that God just don't exist, or some good man wrote the Bible just to get people to do good, well, it'd be pay attention to it if you do what the Bible says and everything. It just wasn't a mere man got together and done it. It was God gave the inspiration by his spirit to the prophets of old and the men of old, even to the apostles and even to the preachers today, to inspire them by his spirit to bring and to tell you about the things that are right here at hand. So it's time we take time out of our busy schedule. And honey, let me tell you, if you can't take time out of your schedule of business and so on and so forth to give God some credit and praise and worship him and gather together in his name, you're too busy. Way too busy. I mean, and that's including you preachers that's closed your doors in the churches on Wednesdays and Sunday nights and these things that are happening around to where you have 2 or 3 hours a week and maybe one day a month or something other like that, and forsaking the assembling together. I'm talking to you too. We just thank God for the unction that he's gave us to go and to gather together in his name. As a lot of pastors won't have revivals anymore. They call it revivals, and all it is a three-day gossip place, and maybe that much, and sometimes not even that. But it's time to take out of our daily schedule and give God some praise and glory. To gather together in the place of worship to give Him praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. The God of creation came down and died for you and I yet when we were in our sins. It's time we take time out of our schedule to give Him some praise and glory. As we go to prayer, we want you to pray one for another. Pray for our men and women that are in these foreign lands and these wars and those girls that was captured by that bunch of people over there. Different places, there's things running around that we need to pray for, my friend, that God will intercede in some way or another, come on the scene and help these people that are being depressed, overrun by the sins of other people, and taking their privileges and their liberty and their rights and overruling others and even to our courts. Give them their rights, but they consider not the ones that they took their rights from. So it's time we pray and ask God to intercede. I believe He's coming soon, and He's going to intercede. And them that love the pleasures of life more than they love God, and they're going to seek after these things, is going to be found weighed in the balance and found wanted. But as we go to prayer, let's pray one for another. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we can express Your feelings as best we know how, to give glory and honor unto Thee, O Lord, and pray for those that are lost, even to our loved ones and our friends, even to our enemies, Lord, because all souls are precious. We pray for our men and women that are in these foreign lands and those that are having problems with others, these terrorists in one thing or another, and all these things that the laws are being made against Your will. They're saying it's against the Constitution that man wrote up and brought forth that we should go by. But let me, God, give them an unction that they will go by what the Word of God is, the best constitution that a man can live by, giving You praise and honor and lifting up Your holy name, that the lost and dying world may receive You before it's everlasting too late. And whatever is done in Thy precious name, Lord, we will give You the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe my wife's got something or other here for us now. I'm going to turn it over to her. So, Lord bless you and keep listening.
I just praise the Lord this afternoon that we can share with you what the Lord has laid on our hearts. And I thank God for everything, every email that we've gotten. And I just appreciate each and every one of you. We're preaching an end time message, and the Lord's laid it on our heart that we should preach this message to a lost and dying world, that you can turn your heart to Jesus Christ and to warn you of the things that's going to come upon this world. And those that know not God, I know there's a lot of people that are probably don't want to receive this message, but I feel like God has called us. Not only us, but there's others preaching this end time message. But I just thank God again for this opportunity that I can share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. Many times we get discouraged and we want to give up. We stumble and fall. But when we listen to the small, still voice inside of us that tells us to come away from Satan's devices and lean on Jesus. Jesus came into this world to save that which was lost, of which we all are. He did not call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. He came to rescue us from our sins. Maybe it's your unsaved loved ones or your friends that have caused you problems. They openly sin and they call on you for your opinion about a matter. And when you tell them about it, according to the way the Bible is, and you stand on the abominations of their ungodly lifestyle, they turn against you. You have to make a choice between them and Jesus. We need to keep holding on to Jesus and what His Word says. The wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the gift of God is eternal life. We must warn people to get off the broad road of destruction and turn their life over to Jesus. Jesus came to save us from our sins and not in our sins. As 2 Peter, the second chapter, verses 4 to 10. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them a example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his wretched soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Those dignitaries is anybody that is going against the word of God. Jesus came to save us from our sins and not in our sins. Jesus will not overlook the sin of adultery, fornication, and ungodly lifestyles, no matter how much the law of the land tries to convince you that it is all right for same-sex marriages. It is still an abomination in the sight of God, and you will be cast into hell on Judgment Day, along with those who sanction it, be it the queen, the judges, the president, whoever has a part of it, is going to be cast into hell right along with them. God made a man and a woman to be fruitful and multiply. When he took the animals into the ark in Genesis 6, 19 to 20, he took in a male and a female of each species. If he wanted a male and a male, or a female and a female, to mate and replenish the earth, he would have taken in two males and two females, but he only took in one male, one female. He never intended for man and man or woman and woman to be in a marital relationship. Nowhere in the Word of God can you find where God sanctioned a marriage between two people of the same gender. If you can find it in the King James Bible, we would like to know where it is so we can do a study on it. Until then, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to have your feedback, whether you agree with us or you disagree with us, or if you have a prayer request you'd like for us to pray about, or you have something to share with us that we can share with others. It would be greatly appreciated. But we would like to hear from you. It gets lonely, you know, when you go to the mailbox and nothing there, but that's all right. But I just would like to hear from you on the email. You can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. And if you have something you'd like to share with us, or you want to have proof of where we get our information that we preach on the broadcast and everything, you can either write to us at Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. And if you'd like to send us a little love gift from now, you know, every once in a while, it would be appreciated. We're self-supporting and everything, except Jesus provides for us, and so we don't worry about it. But I just praise God this afternoon that he's given me this opportunity to give you what God has laid on my heart. And here is Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We got to realize, my friend, that we're living close to the time of the return of our Lord. Whether people want to realize it or not, it's upon us. If you read your Bible, as I often say, read your Bible. Don't take my word or some other person's word for what it says. Read it for yourself and you'll know what it says. If you'll ask God to give you the understanding, if you're sincere and come to Him sincerely with your desire to know what He has to say about these things, He will enlighten you for it. If I didn't feel like that He would, I wouldn't say so, simply because the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And we got a lot of false prophets out there and a lot of false teachers that are going about spreading rot gut stuff, and people are falling for it. You know, Roman church up there, it's got just enough of truth in it to fool people. But you see that even in the news and everything, that how that corruption it is, and a lot of other places too, I'll agree, that we find that they've gone by the way of Cain, in other words, into sin and letting the lust of the flesh get to the best of them. And the devil is a god of this world, telling them that this is all right and that's all right, that everybody's got to sin a little bit more or less every day. And I don't believe that, my friend. I believe that we need to live righteous. If a man does sin, he needs to repent. We have an advocate, that Jesus Christ, that He stands in before the God of creation, His Heavenly Father, to give us an opportunity. He's kind of like a lawyer standing up there for us, but and giving our pleading our case. But He pleads it there, and because He died for us, He paid the price for yours and my sins. And if we belong to Him, He's going to give us that opportunity to have that life that He said we could have, an abundant life. But you can't do it, my friend, by living in sin. He said to come out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. But we look to the scriptures there, and I've got several translations of the Word of God in different categories, you might say, if you want to call it that. I got the Cottage Bible at 1856. It was wrote in the 1611 edition, the Thompson Chain, the New Revised Version, the Amplified, the Blackberry Study Bible, and all of the King James Version. They all say the same. I've even got the Jewish translation here that's a little difficult for me to read sometimes, but I do know enough about it that I can speak some of it and bring forth. But it tells us the same thing that the King James Version speaks about in the time that God came to visit Abraham, and therefore and told him about he was going to Sodom and Gomorrah and see what was going on. My friend, even to Abraham, asked God would he spare the place for 50 righteous, and he said he would. And he kept on bringing it down, till he got to 10. If he found 10 righteous souls, he said he would even spare it from that. But I don't know. Sometimes I think that maybe Abraham thought Lot had done already went into that kind of a sinful nature. But some of his boys and girls had. But he had two young girls there that never knew a man. But he offered that to those people there in place of them messing around there and desiring to go with the two angels that come to visit him. My friend, it's time we got to realize that the Bible was not wrote just by some man that thought he would make people do good. It was wrote by the prophets of old, as I've said, and by the apostles as the Spirit of God moved upon them to write unto you the things at which God loves and the things at which He also hates. And any sin, I don't care what it is sin. And when the devil himself was a beautiful angel, according to the scriptures that Isaiah gives to us, and he was the most beautiful angel. He was perfect in all of his pipes, according to the Word of God. And he had the rule over a third part of the angels to wake up the morning. He was a morning star, bright and morning star. But when he found deceit that he thought, pride entered into him, and he thought he would get to be above all that was God, and he would rule as he wanted to, and he was cast out. My friend, he came down to this world and he's deceived many of people. Deceived them, and many people are no doubt waiting upon that final judgment to be cast into hell, which is the second death. My friend, because they died in their sin. My hope is to reach people for the glory of God and that they may turn from their sins and come unto Him and give Him praise and glory and repent. Even to my own children and friends and people that I know that they need God as much so as I need Him. And I need Him every day of my life. I need the breath of life still warm from His nostrils, my friend. And you do too. We've got to realize that without Him, we're sinners. Without the death on the cross and that precious blood applied to our sins, and we're washed from our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ applied, we're sinners. And all sin is going to be cast into hell. He that sinneth will die. The soul that sinneth is going to die. It's going to perish in the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. My friend, you don't have to be cast into hell. God came down as man and walked among man, went to Calvary's cross outside the city of Jerusalem there, and where you and I were at, because we were not born in your Jewish heritage, but we've been reborn. If you accept Him as your Lord and Master, you become a part of the commonwealth of Israel and be born joint heirs with Christ Jesus into His kingdom. And we'll all become one shepherd, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We'll be baptized into one body. A lot of people, shuns of people at being baptized in Jesus' name, but there's no other name given among man whereby that we can have salvation other than Jesus Christ. So why shun the baptism in His name? If they do, they're going to be found wanted, as the king said upon there, and Daniel wrote, and he seen the handwriting on the wall, and he said he was weighed in the balance and found wanted. Some of them's going to be the same thing, my friend, because they rejected the pure, simple Word of God. They wanted to turn it into what they wanted it to be and go differently from what it was because of false teachings and false doctrines that's come around. We've had them that the Lord said if He came in His own name, they wouldn't receive Him. But if another came in His own name, they would receive. And that's been happening over the world. Remember here how that some of those in Texas and roundabout Koresh over there, how he had them people fooled and thinking that he was the Messiah, and many of them died on account of his foolishness, and that one that carried them over there and got and poisoned them with Kool-Aid and all, he had them hoodwinked too. And many of the people in this world today is hoodwinked by the God of this world by false teachings and false coming out. Now, in Noah's time, the Bible said that they was all out going along and doing all kinds of things. But Noah was the only one that found righteousness. He was put in an ark, as my wife said a while ago. But God chose there men and women. He didn't choose the same sex and everything. But the world today is going with this matter. Everything and our judges and lawyers are saying it's against the Constitution to deny them marriage when, well, if they want to go against on the Constitution, I haven't read it in that fact of wherein it sanctioned them to be married like that. But you see, they're taking out the right that God gave us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to believe in it, and to believe a lie that they might be damned. God did not approve of same-sex marriage in none of the translations that I have got to read, and they're all against God's principles, against His salvation, against Him, period. He made man and woman. He didn't make there to. He told them to replenish. Now, man and man can't replenish. Come on, be real. Woman and woman can't. It takes male and female. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden and God took animals and clothed them, when they found out they was naked, they come to realize that what they were right from wrong. God killed two animals and clothed them with skins, and it was male and female. He put the male on Adam and the female on Eve. My friend, it's just absolutely against all that God stands for. And them that do these things is going to give an answer to God. Not to me, but to God. Now, hey, if I agreed with it, I'm going to have to answer to him for that. And just like these here nations and everything, we read in the papers and all and hear on the news how that most of the states around about 17 or 18 of them's gone with this thing and making laws to uphold it. They're going to be judged according to the scriptures. Them that do these things and them that have favored them, the Bible says they're worthy of death. And we know that they in Sodom and Gomorrah there, that he turned the city into ashes. Lot and his two daughters was the only one that really got saved. His wife got out, but like so many people today, they get out from something other than they turn back to it. And she will turn to a pillar of salt, according to the scriptures. We got to realize that God is sovereignty. He don't need you and I, but we need him desperately. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we'd be lost. So why not give him praise and glory? Give him the honor and praise that he is that he deserves. Honor him and give him praise. Look to him for salvation because there's no other salvation. These other false gods can't save you, my friend. Only one died for our sins. No salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. The name of, that God chose for himself that went after the dark ages between the new, Old and the New Testament. They came forth and they angel came to Mary and said she would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he would save his people from their sin. But now, if you just want to go and say that's just for the Jews, you're wrong there on that, because Abraham had the promise from God that out of his seed all nations would be blessed, and that includes you and I, even though we weren't born in the Jewish heritage, but we can be reborn. Born again into the kingdom of God by the new birth, wherein we'll accept that and we can be part of the house of Israel, joint heirs with them in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can make it, my friend. There's no other name given where we can be saved by. So why persecute them that call upon the name of the Lord? One day you keep on to persecute him, if that be the case. One day you're going to suffer the same thing that them at Sodom and Gomorrah did, because they wanted to even know the two angels that came there. They not to know them, just hello, Joe or Jack and Mom or whatever, but they wanted to have immoral connotation with them, immorality. And everything. Lot was willing to give them his two daughters, which was virgin. No, they didn't want that, because they wanted men more than they did any woman. As the Bible says, that they turned from that use of a woman into that which is unholy in God, and which is an abomination, men with men and women. My friend, the Bible is very plain on this. Like I said, every Bible that I've got that I can read that, and I've got several translations and all, that I read it, it tells us the same thing. The same thing that God done to Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to do to those people of this day. They're going to be cast into the burning fire of hell. And them that have pleasure with them that sanction it, even from the president on down to the janitor, if that be the case, is none going to escape the wrath of God that puts sin in their life and looks to it instead of looking to God for salvation. It don't make no difference who he is, where he come from, or what nationality he is. He's a sinner, and God's going to judge sin, and he said the soul that sinneth will die. And that includes everything. There's nobody going to escape it. Some people escape for a while. They do things that against the laws of the land, and they get by for a while, but sooner or later it all catches up. It's been that going on that way ever since I can remember, and I've been in this old world a long time. My friend, it's time that we begin to realize that God loved the world enough that he came and died for us. I believe that with all of my heart. It just wasn't because some man wrote it and put it in the book to make you and I think that we need to do good, but it was come from the heart of God unto the world that he loved us enough that he died for us. He purchased us there on Calvary's cross with his own life and his blood. But only faith in what the finished works of Calvary can bring forth salvation to them that will believe, but them that believeth not will perish. Them that Sodom and Gomorrah perish because they would not believe. These are the days of this day and time. But bear in mind that when Jesus was speaking to the people himself, and he reminded them at the time of the coming of the Lord, as it would be in the days of Noah. They were running rapid in the streets, doing all kinds of sin and other things that were abomination in his sight. Marriage and giving in marriage. And look at all these same-sex marriage. They want to get all married up and everything, but some of them wants to get unmarried. So what are you going to do? It's fulfillment of the scriptures, my friend. Fulfillment of the scriptures, and they're running rampant in the street doing all kinds of things. Look on the news. Read the paper. And how that people are doing all kinds of sin and killing people just for no reason at all, if nothing. They're doing all kinds of things. Mothers killing their babies and all these things. And dads alike, they're killing one another, killing their wives, and so on and so forth. It's right here on us, my friend. Let me tell you, it's right here. It's soon going to be a reality when the world looks up and sees the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming in the clouds of glory. It's going to be too late then, most likely, as it was in the days of Noah. Noah would finish the ark in 120 years. He told the people it was going to come a flood. Well, it's been preached quite a while now, for a long time, that Jesus is coming soon. And people just got to the place to where in Peter recorded and said, since the Father fell asleep, that all things can... That's what the world's saying. But God ain't asleep, my friend. He's looking down on our nature of our sins of the world, and he's getting tired of it. And he's going to come forth one of these days very soon, and he's going to put an end to sin, and all the righteousness will be gathered unto him, as when you go out into the fields and to gather up your grain. You don't keep the husk and the stem of it, but you keep the grain, and you put it into a storage. Now, that's what he's meaning about, that the chaff will be blowed away or burned up, but he gathered into his gurney or into his barn the wheat, and he gathered it in to be preserved. My friend, it's time we begin to realize and read the Word of God. Pay attention to the preachers that are preaching that the Lord is coming soon, and quit stalling it off and said one more day, one more time. You ain't got the promise of tomorrow no more so than I have. No man has got the promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you live in. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow's history, and no man knows what's going to transpire. Oh, the weatherman looks in and his instruments and everything and says it's going to be this and that. Well, they done that back in the days of old when Jesus reminded them that they look into the morning and the skies are red and all that he said in the lower, and they're going to be a heat and so on and so forth. Oh, my friend, we cannot know what day or the hour that our time is going to be up. Many people have left home to go to work or on a vacation or some whatever, meaning everything to be well, seemingly. And all of a sudden, something other happens, an accident, and takes the lives of several of our loved ones and everything instantaneously. And they never return back home again, except in a coffin. Be smart enough to know that it just don't pay to sin. It pays to love God and love his word and be a part of the kingdom of God, that when we do pass from this life into death, that we can have life more abundantly. He said he would lead us as a shepherd lead the sheep into green pastures and by the still waters. We need to realize that God is sovereignty. As I've said, he can do without you and I. He did for a long time before he created us. Man was made on the sixth day, but he had everything else set in order. And these people that come around and trying to say, these scientists, that a bubble over here and a bubble over there, nitrogen and oxygen came together back millions of years ago and hit and exploded, and here we are. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He don't know what day it is. The day of the Lord is at hand, and he don't realize it. My friend, it's time we take time out for Jesus. Take time out of your daily chores to read what the Word of God has to say. To know and not be led astray by every wind of doctrine, going from here to pillar to post and listening to that and listening to something else and everything. But take out your Word, the Bible, the true version of it, and read it to see what it says for yourself. And then you know what it says. You don't have to take nobody else's word for it. It'd be just like the well, when Jesus went to the Samaritan there at the well of Jacob's well, and she came there, and he told her that if she knew who it was, that he would give to her living water. She thought carnally, well, give me this living water where I won't have to come in and draw from this. But he was speaking about his eternal spirit, my friend, born again experience. And then when he told her about her lifestyle, she was married, but then she wasn't married to the one she was living with. And he told her about it. She went about and therefore told others, come and see a man that has told me all that I ever was. And is not he the Christ? They come and heard him for themselves. And they said, we no longer believe it because you told us, but we have heard for ourselves and we believe. So what are we going to do? Read the Word of God, my friend. Read what the Lord has to say about sin. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all right there. He came in the volume of the book. From Genesis to Revelation, you can read about him. And it's not there. He just come on the scene there as in the book of Matthew when he was come to be born. That's when he came in the flesh. But he was there in the creation. All things was made by him. And without him, nothing was made. That was made, and it was all made by Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, listen to the Word of God. Read it for yourself and know that it is truth. Believe in it and trust in it, and you will find that peace that you have never had before. And it will give you an understanding if you'll ask. You don't have to ask me or somebody else to interpret it for you. You can read it and ask God for his understanding of it. He speaks about the understanding. You can get understanding, get wisdom, and you can have these things and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. But you got to repent. You can't live in sin and transgress the laws of God and think that you're going to make it. I had people to say they're going to go to heaven whether they wanted to or not. It's a lie out of hell, my friend. The devil is the author and the finisher of all lies. He was cast out because of heaven because of his sins. And who do you think you are? Who do I think that I am? That I can get by? If he didn't spare them, you know he's not going to spare us. The hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, them that went against the Almighty God. But it was prepared for him, not for you and I. But it's enlarged itself so that them can wants to go there. It'll have accommodation for them. But my friend, it's time we realize that Jesus told him, in my Father's house are many mansions, meaning that there is room for all that would come. All them that desires to seek after the kingdom of God with their whole heart, there's plenty of room. God made mention to it, said, the heavens is my throne and the earth is my footstool. But he said that the heavens and the earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. His word is going to stand, and we're going to have to answer to His word. The word of God, the spoken word of God, became flesh when He spoke it into the womb of Mary, the little Jew girl. And she wasn't deity. She never was deity. And praying to her is going to be just like praying to me. I can't help you, my friend. I can do what I can, tell you about what the Word of God says. But it's up to you to turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you. I can't do it. Mary can't do it. But praying to her and to some other body like that there is not going to help you none. You'll be lost. Pay attention to the news and look at seeing what corruption goes on into some of these false teachers and false preachers are going around. And listen to the Word of God. Read it for yourself. Genesis speaks of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes on and he speaks about even to the time of Noah. He speaks about the time that Paul goes and makes it very clear. There, if we just take time out to read it, the wrath of God in Paul in Romans, the first chapter, in the 18th verse, and the 16th, he said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But the 18th verse, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, because that may be known of God, manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. But he goes on to tell them that these things were created by God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is God of glory. That's His name today, Jesus. He spoke about it one time as Jehovah. And these things here, my friend, you can't get around it. If you read the scriptures, you'll find out that God's word is true. I mean, in the 22nd verse, he said, professing to them to be wise and become fools. They challenge the glory of the uncorruptible, changing the glory of the uncorruptible of men, incorruptible God, into the image made like corruption of men and birds and so on and so forth, four-footed creatures. Therefore God gave them over to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lies and worshiped the servant and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to a vile passion, that even their women, exchanging the natural use of what is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust for one another, men with men, and committing that which is shameful, and receiving to themselves the penalty of their error which has done. And even as the days that he did not retain God the knowledge, gave them over to depraved mind, that they would do these things which are not fitting, being filled with the unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife. You see, all these things that God's against, all the envy and the strife, murder, committing all kinds of sin, that if you read it, you'll find out. But he's going to require us to give an answer. He's going to require every man to stand for himself. I won't stand for you, nor you won't stand for me. But we're going to stand and give it an answer. The consequences of sin is going to be devastating. But God's plead with people from time of the beginning, Turn from the unrighteousness. Turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to God's ways. Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Bring forth and fruits of the Spirit instead of the fruits of the corruption of this world and bearing the sin that the devil has placed into this world. He's the God of this world. He brings forth lies and destruction. He is there to kill and destroy any way that he can. And he's out today as a roaring lion because he knows his time is short. He's trying to deceive and being deceived, and he's coming forth with all that's in his arsenal. He's bringing it forth. He's destroying men because of this thing, the same-sex marriages and all these things that he's bringing forth. It's out of the belly of hell, and the devil is the author of it, my friend. It's not God's plan, never was, never will be, but they're going to be judged. And unrighteousness is going to be judged, and the unrighteous soul that sinneth it be perished in hell. Like I said, hell was prepared for the devil and his angel. But if you want to go there, just keep on doing whatever. Never repent, and hell will be your destination. But if you want to be into the kingdom of God, you got to repent. You got to be born again. You got to turn from your sinful nature. Let God come into your life, seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. These people that are making laws against God's commandments, against God's laws, and against that, and upholding the lust of the flesh and the unrighteousness of men, depraved minds and everything, is going to answer to it. I don't care who he is or where he come from. He's going to give an answer to God. And God's going to be the final judge. And ain't no lawyer going to jump up and say, hey, we want a new trial. When he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, it's going to be departed. Ain't going to be no 2 or 3 months and come up and judge again and get a reprieve of any kind. Ain't no way you're going to get out of hell. When you're there, you're there. As a rich man and a Lazarus, Lazarus died, was carried into heaven in Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried, but he said, the scripture says, Jesus himself, and the rich man looked and seen Abraham, or Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, desired that he would just take his finger and dip it in the water and cool him, his tongue, for he's tormented into the flame. Abraham told him, he said, there's a great gulf effect. You down there can't come up here, and he up here can't go down there. My friend, ain't no such a thing as praying you out of hell. Ain't no such a place as waiting for somebody to pay enough of money for the priest with the big hat to pray you out of purgatory. Ain't no such. If you're there, you're there. So the tree falls, so shall it lie. And there's a lot of trees that fell, and they're still laying there in the woods if you just go out and look. They rot, they decay, they eat up with ants and termites and whatever else. But they decay. And if the man is considered to be a tree, falls in destruction, it will lie in corruption. If it falls in righteousness, it will rise in righteousness. And that, when if he falls and his soul is cast into hell, he's there. No out. If it goes into righteousness, it's brought into the kingdom of God, he ain't going to want to leave nohow, but he's going to be there for the righteousness of God, and he'll be there eternally in the presence of God. So why is it so hard to understand? You are the one, I am the one that's going to make the choice. God made a choice. When he sent his only begotten, God in the flesh came into the world to die for sinners such as you and I. He didn't have to, but he loved his creation enough that he wanted to preserve it. Adam put us all in sin. He was made of the dust of the earth. But this second Adam, which was Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit, and he came in the flesh and died on the cross for yours and my sin. So if you want to go to hell, like I said a while ago, that just continue like you're living, because we were all born in sin. We needed salvation, and that come through Jesus Christ, God himself. And if you haven't repented, your destination is the domains of hell. But if you've been born again, then you come into the place that wherein God said you could have life and have it more abundantly, living in the kingdom of God. Daniel seen a rock hewed out of the mountain without hands, and it grew, it smote the image at the feet, and all of the sins in the nature was turned away. But that rock grew, and it filled the whole world. And that rock was Christ Jesus. My friend, it's up to you and I. It's time we take the time out of our lives, our daily schedules, whatever it is. I drove a truck for a great number of years all around the United States and across about, but I always had my Bible with me, and I'd take time out to read it. I want you to understand, it's helped me a whole lot to understand. The reading of it, the believing and trusting in it, has helped me to get by with many things. It's not to say that I didn't have some thorns in my bed, because I did. We all have troubles. We all going to have troubles. But the thing of it is, if you got Jesus in your life, he said he would help us. Nothing, no trouble, no temptation has come up on a man that will overtake him if he will rely upon the Lord. He said he made a way of escape. When the devil comes into the flood, he raises up a standard, but you need to be born again, because God is not going to take care of you when you'd rather live for the devil. You can't serve two. You got to serve God, or you're going to serve the devil. Now, it's plain and simple. But my friend, today, let me encourage you. Read your Bible. Turn your hearts to God. Listen to them that will tell you the truth. There's some good preachers out there that will preach the unadulterous word of God and tell you the truth. There's plenty of them out there, but there's a lot of them out there that's preaching after what they can get out of your bank account and making them rich to where they'll have these things. The Bible speaks about they would come making merchandise of your soul. In other words, plant your seed in my garden. Watch my tulips grow. His bank account, in other words. Sending all kinds of stuff out there. You can't buy it in the store. It's not for sale. But I got it here and I'll give it to you. But you can't get it without $100 or so. That's a lie. I don't care what preacher says that. It's a lie. If it's free, you don't have then give it to you. If you got to send him $100 in order to get it, then it's not free. Why didn't he just say, for $100, I'll send it to you? Don't come here with telling you it's free and then you say you got to have $100 to get it. That's a lie out of hell. I don't care who he comes from. If he's got something to give you, give it to you. The gospel didn't cost him nothing. Truth, he said to buy the truth and sell it not. The gospel is not, it didn't come to you and I free. It cost God the very life that he gave for you and I in his blood. But he gave it to us free. He said in the last day of the feast, when he stood up there in Jerusalem, he stood there and he said, all, whoever so will, come and drink of the waters of life freely. Oh, my friend, it's time we take it into consideration, the word of God, and try the best that we know how, and asking for the help that can only come from God, that we need to live this life pleasing unto him, that we may bear fruits of righteousness pleasing unto him, that when that day of God shall appear, when he told, like he told Noah, come into the ark, when he says, come up here, the bonds of this earth will be broke loose and we'll be changed from mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruption, and meet the Lord in the air. It's coming soon. Be prepared and look up, for our redemption draweth nigh, because all of the signs that Jesus spoke about, and he said, when this generation that seeth these signs being fulfilled, that generation won't pass away until all things be fulfilled. He's coming soon, my friend. Time to look up. Redemption draweth nigh. Come on, Lord Jesus. Take time for Jesus. Give him praise and honor. Repent if you haven't. And if you have repented, hold on, my friend. Jesus is coming soon. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer. Pray for us as we pray for one another. God bless you.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are